Welcome to the Whole and Healthy Vibe podcast, a show to help you shift away from the diet and dogma towards a whole and healthy life.
We're your hosts, Laura and Kezia, health coaches, cake lovers, and body positive warriors. Let's get the show started.
So in this week on the Whole and Healthy Live podcast, I have got a special treat for you guys. I'm interviewing the wonderful Amy from skintherapy.com. So we're going to be chatting about all things skin and getting that nice glowy look and nutrition and probably a whole host of other stuff in there as well, because that's just how we roll here on the podcast. But if you didn't know already, me and Laura have our retreat running in September, and there are a couple of tickets still available. So if you want to go over and check that out and see if that would be a good fit for you, then just head over to wholehealthylive.com. But otherwise, welcome Amy to the show.
Hi, hello everybody. Hi.
Yay, I'm kind of just clapping to myself in my office. I'm just like, yay, welcome. But no, I forget that this is a podcast and no one can see me clapping to myself. So Amy, tell us a little bit about you. Where are you in the world, actually? Like Cilla Black, what's your name and where'd you come from?
My name is Amy and I'm from Brighton. I'm born and raised in Sussex, down on the south coast. I moved up to London for a few years at the beginning of my career as a makeup artist, and then London wasn't really for me, so sort of moved down to the bohemian Brighton, and I've been here for coming up to 4 years now and still love it. So yeah.
Wow, I didn't know you were a makeup artist. You are a woman of many trades.
Yeah, the jack of all trades, master of none.
But that makes what sense for why your makeup always looks like effortless and awesome.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, no, I've had a, I think because of my issues with skin from a very young age, I've always been really interested in beauty and skin. I think mainly also the makeup more as a sort of means of covering up. You know, I'd always, growing up, been really into my makeup because of more of using it as a mask rather than anything else. Yeah. So that's sort of where that kind of passion stemmed from. And so I was a makeup artist for 4 years, working in sort of film, TV, and I also did wig making in the West End. And then I just, it kind of coincided moving to Brighton. I just sort of had this, you know, completely different attitude towards life once I'd moved down there and started sort of going down this sort of new route, started working in digital marketing and doing social media, have my own social media consultancy business, and then alongside that sort of developed my website Skin Therapy, which is what I'm passionate about, and that's what I want to sort of, you know, develop into, you know, a full-time business. So
yeah, and it's a beautiful website, guys. So in all the show notes, we'll leave lots of links, so make sure you check it all out. But before we dive into the juicy goodness of what we're going to talk about, tell us first, this is potentially one of my favorite questions that I ask people that we interview, is what did you have for breakfast this morning? That's kind of, I suppose, part one of the question.
So for breakfast this morning, I had a blended herbal tea, and this is something I've actually sort of recently introduced into my diet. I'm really big on getting healthy fats for sort of great hormones and happy skin. So blended herbal teas is something I sort of recently discovered, and actually they're a really, really good thing to do in the morning when you kind of, it's almost like a smoothie, but, you know, sort of very focused on fat and not a huge amount of other things like carb. You're not putting like fruit or like protein powders or anything in there. So you're kind of keeping it very like fat heavy, which is sort of what, you know, I find my body functions best on in the morning. So this morning it was I had spearmint and nettle herbal tea.
Ooh, nice.
With 2 tablespoons of coconut oil and 1 tablespoon of grass-fed gelatin, all blended together for about 45 seconds in the blender. And it's amazing. Like when I first did it, I was so amazed at how, like, you know, the oil blends in and it turns it into like a sort of latte looking like drink. Yeah. It's really delicious. And it also it doesn't, you know, you kind of think that, oh my God, 2 tablespoons of coconut oil in hot water is just going to be gross and just feel like you're drinking, but it kind of emulsifies. It's, and just, you don't even really notice it. It's just really creamy and nice. So I can see, I'm not a big coffee drinker. So I'm sure those of you that have like bulletproof coffee, this is like not new to you at all, but it's really, really good and it's really delicious and it kind of keeps me full till lunchtime and it's just perfect. I've just recently bought some MCT oil, which I know you're a big fan of.
Oh yeah.
So I'm kind of looking forward to kind of trying that out and using that. I want to play around with doing some sort of chai, fatty chai tea.
Ooh,
in the morning,
yeah,
which sounds quite nice because I do love a chai tea. So yeah, but you know, that's usually what I do during the weekdays, but and at weekends it will usually be something like duck eggs, some uncured bacon or kale cooked in goat butter and stuff like that. So, you know,
that
kind of mix.
Fab. I love well, those who listen to the podcast regularly or just watch the blog know I'm all about the fat. I've not really tried many blended teas though, so maybe I'll need to do it because I don't really do coffee or if I'm going to have a coffee, I just can't do the blended stuff and I don't do it very often. But I do it with cocoa, so I'll blend like MCT oil and some ghee into cocoa with some salt normally. And then maybe some cinnamon in there and
nice
vanilla and whatever and that kind of thing. And I really like that. It's one of those things you feel like you're like, this is like so good for me, but it feels like I'm drinking liquid chocolate.
Yeah.
And you're a bit like, is this healthy? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I love that. I love doing things like that in the morning.
Me too. Yeah. Because I've got such a sweet tooth, which is probably why the reason why ended up in the kind of hormonal state that I did. So it's I enjoy kind of that kind of sweet treat, feeling like it's naughty when actually it's really good for you.
Yeah, I mean, I love doing that. And it's one of the things I'm like, and it's a message I often think people get a bit misconstrued of, like, healing your body just means like really dull food or really awful, like depressing meals, and I just think,
really plain meals.
Yeah, yeah, just like salmon and beans, or like salmon and roast cauliflower. And
that's something I'm actually, that's 100%. Like, I think I was, for years, I was eating what I thought was like an optimal, healthy diet that would, you know, clear my acne and it'd be great. And, you know, it was so frustrating when that just never happened, because I wasn't, you know, it was sort of like, you know, what all these kind of glossy magazines were telling me was a healthy diet, you know, eat your whole grains, eat your, you know, eat your vegetables, and, you know, nothing was ever, you know, maybe like, oh, have an avocado in a smoothie, and you don't think like,
but not
actually
a whole
one
avocado.
If that's going to be your kind of main fat intake for the day, that's nowhere near enough.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's definitely where I was going wrong for years, was just not focusing on fat.
Yeah, we're still very afraid of fats. Women especially are, I think. Well, actually, I know, and I know a good bunch of men that think fat is going to make them fat and give them high cholesterol and blah, 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 and give them heart disease and all sorts.
Yeah.
I'll put a link in the show notes, actually, to a blog. I've written a few blogs about fat. One about, I think, like 10 reasons why I eat lots of fat, and another one about busting some of the myths around some of the research around heart disease and the different, just the actual evidence that we have around this idea that fat is bad for your health, or fat makes you fat, is actually, there's some slight nuances to it, because some forms of fats do, your processed trans fats are very bad for you. But there's so much research now around how we need more fats, which I'm sure we'll dive into a little bit more as we yabber on. But can you tell us a little bit more, Amy, just about your health journey? And, you know, obviously it sounds like skin has always been a bit of an issue for you. Was that from a teenage years?
Yeah, even preteen. I was about sort of nine years old when it first sort of started. So I've had, you know, even now I've had acne for more years than I've not.
Wow.
So, you know, and I'm from, you know, looking at, from what I know now, I'm pretty sure that, you know, poor diet, and stress after my parents' divorce was kind of like the key things that were that really sort of just like amped it up. I think it started off as just sort of like your basic teenage acne. It was very kind of like whiteheads on the forehead, you know, very common teenage sort of breakouts where it's very much sort of T-zone and kind of like white pustules sort of type thing. But then it sort of slowly developed as, you know, it started appearing on my cheeks, and, you know, which is very, you know, that's associated with diet issues and digestive problems. And then just the sort of chronic stress that I sort of endured for years during my teens just sort of made it just that kind of, it just, there was no break in the cycle. Mm. I couldn't just, you know, calm my nervous system down enough to sort of start seeing improvement. I tried, you know, between the ages of 9 and 16, I tried every single acne skincare product from like Clinique's three-step system to Dermalogica. I was quite lucky that my parents were very much like, you know, I rarely tried things like Clearasil or any of those sort of Boots ones. My parents were very much like, we need to get us some proper stuff, which looking back now, that's, you know, they're terrible. Clinique toner can lift, yeah, like it can strip paint. It's not what you should be putting on your skin. It's terrible. But, you know, they did sort of, you know, we were looking at the proactive Dermalogica and all those kind of quite high-end acne treatments. I was also on antibiotics, which would have, you know, again, in the long term, been causing more problems than not, especially as my diet wasn't good enough to repopulate the good bacteria, yeah, once I'd come off them. And also, you know, your prescription creams for acne. And then finally, I was put on the pill at age 16, which improved, well, it didn't clear my skin, but my skin never got worse. So I sort of accepted that as a positive, and that was a success. So I stuck with it, you know, but, you know, still suffering from really regular breakouts. I would never feel confident wearing makeup, hence without not wearing makeup, hence why I sort of, you know, went down this route of becoming a makeup artist. And my diet was still terrible, and obviously being a makeup artist working on set didn't help the situation, yes, either, because it's just the worst food. I'd be going to the toilet once every 2 weeks.
Oh my goodness, poor you.
Terrible. But the thing is, no one believes me when I say this, but I genuinely didn't, you know, like, I think now if I don't go, I can really feel it. But at that time, it was just so, everything had just ground to a halt.
Yeah.
That I didn't feel bloated. I didn't feel anything. It was just like, I think I was just absorbing all those toxins back. And, you know, and I was just, yeah, it just, I didn't feel, I mean, now it sounds horrific, and to most people it does. But at the time, I mean, I think if it did cause me pain and problems, I would have done something about it.
Yeah. But earlier. Just didn't. But the body's like that. Sometimes the body knows as well
just
when.
Adapt to the, yeah, situation, I think. You know, and then at 24, I decided to sort of come off the pill. Again, it sort of coincided with me living in Brighton. I was like, you know, I want to go down a more natural route. I'd been working in the sort of organic and natural beauty industry, working as like a sort of a promo girl from the age of about 19. So in terms of my skin, I'd switched over to sort of natural skincare, mm-hmm, a long time ago. And then kind of the health side of it sort of caught up about 6 years later, once I'd moved down to Brighton. I was like, you know what, I want to try. First thing I want to do, come off the pill. Didn't really consider the implications it might have. And then after 2 months, literally had the biggest hormonal breakdown ever. My skin, my periods, by the way, my periods had actually been, before I went on the pill, I never really suffered, despite having quite hormonal acne as a teenager. My periods were actually quite normal.
Okay.
Which, you know, so I think it was more digestive related rather than hormonal related. But anyway, 2 months after coming off the pill, total meltdown. Skin and periods were like the worst I had ever experienced, like times 100. It was just terrible. Huge cystic acne all over my cheeks, under my jaw, and just tiny bumps like all over my face.
Goodness.
And yeah, it took a long, long time seeing like holistic therapists, trying everything, every single supplement, I think, out there that I could research that potentially was, you know, a cure for acne. Yeah, and very little, you know, that's very little improvement,
yeah,
in my skin at all. I kind of, you know, just, yeah, it just, you know, it took two and a half years to, you know, it would kind of seem like it was getting better and then it would get really worse again. And then it was never, you know, I never reached that sort of stage where I was like really confident. I was like, right, I've done it. I've beaten it.
Yeah.
It always sort of came back. And yeah, so it was a really, really long, long journey.
Yeah.
And yeah, so.
Are these healing journeys, often are. And I always try to explain that with clients when I'm working with them. I tend to work with clients for about a 14-week program. And I'm always like, this is like a kickstart. Like, yeah. You should feel like we should shift a lot in this period because it's intensive. But it is a kickstart. Like, I feel like I'm still, my health journey and healing, so much has happened and I'm so much better. But there's still so much to go.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of okay with it. That's a part of the process, and just learning to be okay with it is really important. So what do you feel like, so where do you feel like you're at now, Amy, in terms of where are you at now with your skin, and what do you feel like were some of the key kind of, I don't know, shifts or things you learned or turning points that really helped you see that difference and gain that kind of skin confidence?
Yeah, I think failing at pretty much every natural acne treatment going was like one of the biggest, you know, it was, but at the same time, you know, it was such a long journey. And, you know, it's kind of, but at the same time, I understood that it was, you know, I had to repair basically a lifetime of damage I'd done to my digestive system. My mom literally had to force me to eat like two stalks of broccoli and like a few like bits of carrots with my roast dinner once a week. Like, I was such a veg phobe and just never lived off, you know, I'd get home from school and I'd have like a Coke and a packet of crisps and a chocolate, like not even a chocolate biscuit, like a,
oh yeah, just, you know, like a full-on Mars bar.
Like a full-on Mars bar or Cadbury's.
Yeah, I used to do the same.
Terrible. And it would be like every single day. Then like plus more. And, you know, I was never getting like, you know, probably not drinking enough water. You know, my water would be like squash or juices or all sugar. It was just all beige and all sugar for pretty much like 23 years of my life. So I knew it was going to be, you know, a long journey, and I don't regret the long journey because now I know how to kind of control my skin without the use of harsh prescription drugs, because at the end of the day, those prescription drugs aren't the cure. They're just a sticky tape, you know, they're just like a plaster. They're not going to cure the root cause of your acne, which, for, you know, is either going to be hormone imbalance, digestive problems, or stress. They're usually the kind of like three things that are the cause. And, you know, and a prescription drug's not going to cure any of them. Because the minute you come off it, it's all just going to be there still.
Yeah.
I think one of the kind of the main things I learned in my journey is like, not, it's not about finding a miracle supplement. Like, I'm the perfect example of that. I literally tried everything. Before I started like really looking at my diet and really seriously nailing down what foods were causing my hormone imbalances and what foods would be helping my hormone imbalances, the supplements I took literally had no effect on my skin. You know, there's the research that, like, you know, zinc, you know, clears acne by like 60%, and this does that and that does that, you know, literally, like, I didn't see 60%. I saw no improvement. It literally had nothing on my skin. But once I sort of created that right environment within my body where, you know, I made the shift from being like a really inflamed body that just was repelling everything and just, you know, it was just toxic. Once I created that right environment, I tried all those same supplements again, and the success rate was much, much better. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, miracle supplements are not enough. The majority of acne patients, blood sugar imbalances and digestive issues, you know, you can't out supplement. You know, there's some great blood sugar balancing supplements out there, like berberine, chromium, magnesium, cinnamon. But you know, you can't just take them and expect to out supplement the wrong diet.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of my clients come to me thinking that they're like, you know, I'm doing, they want that miracle supplement because they believe that their diet is already healthy. But I've not once had a client that is eating enough fat, and it's all very it's all carb heavy. They've got some form of carb with every single meal.
That's often how we get told and trained what we should do. And I often will chat through this with clients as well, and just in general, getting, it's kind of why I feel like I harp on a lot about fat and protein as well. I do think people probably potentially go too much on the protein train and not enough on the fat train in general, because you get all these high protein whatever's. And actually, I think, but people, I think it's part of, it's cultural, and it's what off, you know, the government food plates have told us for a really long time, is that most of our meals should be based around carbs,
whole grains.
And it's just not always what I think the research tells us is actually helpful, and especially, but I'm really interested to find out a bit more about, so you mentioned blood sugar balance and digestion, so for people listening, if they are an adult, a wonderfully grown woman, and they're still struggling with acne, then these two things you're telling us are going to be key players in why acne is still going
on. 100%. I'll meet, and what, because the blood sugar imbalance are creating the hormone imbalances. So even if you think like, oh, you know, it's not my blood sugar, it's, you know, it's hormones, you know, that those hormones have got to be affected by something else. And digestive issues can be one, because if you're not absorbing the right nutrients from your food, because you know, you aren't what you eat, you are what you absorb.
You are what you digest, people. That's
your mantra.
So
you know, if you can eat all that, and that's the thing. There was one time that, you know, one time in my sort of, you know, the 2 years that I was like trying everything, you know, I was like, living off like I was taking like Juice Plus capsules, which are like, you know, supposed to be like 12 portions of fruit and veg in a capsule. And on top of taking like 9 to 10 actual portions of fruit and vegetables, thinking like, you know, but because I wasn't, you know, I hadn't focused on A, eating enough fat, and B, not focusing on my digestion, I was just, you know, I wasn't really absorbing any of those nutrients that I was like taking in from the food. So, you know, you end up just wasting money, and also the stress of trying to like getting, you know, when you don't see results, you end up stressing about it and like trying to eat more and more, and you end up like eating more and more vegetables to try and like see some sort of improvement, and you just get into this really unhealthy get these really unhealthy habits where you're just obsessing over eating as much vegetables as possible. I genuinely believe that that's not where we need to be focusing, because if you eating enough fat so you can absorb all the really important, because, you know, bearing in mind the best vitamins for the skin are vitamin D, vitamin A, vitamin E, and vitamin K2. They're all fat soluble, which means if you don't have enough fat in your body, you're not going to be able to use, you know, your body will not be able to absorb and metabolize those vitamins, full stop. So that in itself is just enough. You know, Accutane, which is like, you know, one of the supposed miracle drugs for acne, but also comes with so many dangerous side effects. That is a derivative of vitamin A. But you know, there's plenty of natural sources of vitamin A, but they're not going to work unless you're eating enough. Yeah, exactly. Egg yolks, butter, ghee, all those things. You know, they're all also great sources of vitamin K2 as well.
Yeah.
So all those things, you know, they're not going to work unless you're getting enough fats. That's why I think some of the reasons why, you know, all the supplements I was taking when my diet wasn't up to scratch weren't working, because I needed the fat there to increase absorption. Yeah. And I wasn't getting it because I was like having, you know, I was like, if I'm brutally honest, I think I was probably putting like maybe half an avocado or a whole avocado in my morning smoothie, and then maybe cooking with like maybe one tablespoon of coconut oil for my evening meal. And that's just, you know, and I'm a complete 360 now, and I'm like literally just, you know, I'm looking at everything like checking like that's got higher fat content. I'll take that one.
You're like, higher fat, thank you very much. I know. Like if I ever go for a coffee and I'm like, no, not semi-skimmed milk. No, thank you. Give me full fat. That would be the best. But I love what you're saying. I think digestion is so key. And I think part of it's, we don't always think that because we've not been educated in how really the body works. But if people are listening, and whether it's acne or maybe it's a form of fatigue or, you know, just hormonal imbalances or whatever it is.
Yeah, PMS, any, you know, yeah, all those kind of things.
Digestion is always a really, really essential part. And you can, and you, even if you're not having bad digestive symptoms, like I had really bad bloating and diarrhea, you know, those are all really big red flags. But even if you're not massively experiencing those, it doesn't mean that your digestion is optimum.
It's great, yeah.
And that's really where you've got to begin with whatever health issue you're tackling, is making sure the digestion is just, you're actually digesting things, you're actually absorbing things in your small intestine, the vitamins, the minerals, you're synthesizing your serotonin, you're activating your vitamin D, although that doesn't happen in digestion, but you know, all of these different things, it's so, so important. That's why I harp on about it and Amy harps on about it all the time.
Yeah, it really is. I think people are just expecting it to be, you know, yeah, like you said, they don't have obvious digestive issues, so they think that that's not their issue. But if you've been on the pill, and if you've ever been on antibiotics, which I'm, you know, again, it's one of those things, like most of, I'd say 9 out of 10 of my clients have been on some form of antibiotics in the past for their skin, and even if it's not their skin, even if it's for, you know, ear infections or you know, anything, any kind of thing that they've been on, like your body physically cannot repair itself after taking antibiotics without intervention. So, you know, all those antibiotics you've taken throughout, you know, your life to this day, if you haven't physically gone out and made the effort to replace the good bacteria, then you're going to be, you know, you're creating a really bad environment for things. You know, you might not be feeling those symptoms now, but give it a few years, a few months or whatever, and you will start, you know, your system will start getting more sluggish, you'll start getting, you know, skin problems. And it doesn't even have to be, you know, big things like acne, even, you know, sort of small patches of eczema and psoriasis. It's all, you know, it's all signals that something's not right.
Yeah,
in your body.
Yeah, skin is a great map of what's going on our insides. And in a lot of other countries, actually, you do get prescribed probiotics after you've had antibiotics, because studies show a lot of people end up with things like diarrhea after a course of antibiotics, and probiotics help to alleviate that. A lot of people in different, a lot, my sister-in-law is African. When she had a C-section with her two kids, they always prescribed her probiotics after that. You know, and obviously South Africa has a more private healthcare system, but you know, so it's something I think that we need to catch up on a little
Definitely.
Bit with that. And I love what you say about blood sugar as well. I feel like every client I work with, I always harp on about blood sugar, but I always say it's like super unsexy to like digestion. Working on digestion can feel kind of like, yeah, I'm working on my digestion, I'm not going to be bloated, I'll digest what I'm eating. Whereas like blood sugar, you're a bit like, wow, that sounds really boring.
Yeah, but and also, yeah, it's so like, essential. Oh, okay, that means like cutting out sugar, and that's really boring. That's and all the good rubbish, stuff in life. But I don't think it has to be. You know, I think one of my biggest flaws when, you know, I was eating this like optimum clear skin diet. It was, you know, what I thought was the optimum clear skin diet. I was eating tons of vegetables, all water. I had I was eating no processed sugar, no sugar at all. No, not even honey or like the odd bit of honey maybe, but, you know, generally no sugar. So I was sugar free. I was totally dairy free. I was like paleo, so I was eating basically sweet potatoes, vegetables, and meat, and the odd bit of fruit. So I was like, you know, everyone else has been on paleo and had amazing results with their skin. Why am I getting so frustrated with the lack of results? So much so that I ended up doing like a totally like 360 and being like, oh, fine, I'll add like rice and quinoa and stuff back in. And that just kind of started making things worse. I was like, oh, maybe, you know, paleo is the thing to do. But all those things, you know, the problem is, and I've learned that now, is that when I cut out all those things, when I went paleo, cut out all those food, like, you know, cutting out dairy, all dairy, you know, I don't believe that all dairy is bad. I think cow's dairy can be really inflammatory, and it's not great if you're suffering from any kind of hormonal issues. But milk or like dairy from cow, goat or sheep is much better tolerated, and, you know, and can be, is, you know, can be great, especially things like goat butter and stuff like that. So I'd cut all that out, and I'd cut all the carbs out apart from sweet potato, but I'd not replaced it with anything else. So not only was I really low in fat, I was also just generally quite low calorie anyway. It's like, I just wasn't eating enough calories. Like, just, I wasn't getting enough fuel, full stop. And I think that's where a lot of people, you know, go wrong. You know, I have clients that say that, you know, I did low carb and my skin really started to clear up, but I literally couldn't do it because I just felt so crap on it. Yeah. And I think that is like that's the issue. It's like you take people, you know, you keep restricting your diet, you're taking more and more things out, and you then end up just not getting enough food, full stop. And yeah, so I think, yeah.
It's really unhealthy. I think that is, it's very easy for people to take whatever diet label they want to try, paleo, vegan. I mean, me and Laura did an episode on this that I'll link to, and it's so easy to take whatever paleo or vegan label, whatever it is that you want to follow, and just use it, and it become a bit of an excuse just to hardly eat anything, or yeah, just sometimes through a lack of education, you know, you just don't eat enough. And it, like, again, it's something I talk to about all the time with clients, and I hope I communicate this enough in the work that I do, is that we need to eat enough. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't follow calories. I don't track what I eat. I don't care if my breakfast is 1,000 calories. The few times I have tracked it, sometimes my breakfast is, but it's, yeah, we can't, like, I was listening to a podcast the other day, and some lady was talking about her health journey, and you making sure she kept to her 1,300 calories a day. I was like, oh, what? Gosh,
that's,
are we
not
still
enough
here? I was like, are you serious? And
that's terrible.
Like, I did a review recently. I did a, I was doing, as part of a project for my master's, I reviewed my own nutritional intake and geeked out on nutrients and calories and blah, blah, blah. And my average, this was just from about a 3 or 4 day snapshot of my food diary, was roughly about 2,000, maybe just over 2,000. Yeah. And so I know some days I'll have more than that and some days I have less. I just listen to my body. But when it comes to, you know, we've really got to just listen to our bodies. And if you're hungry, then guys, please eat, and eat something fatty, eat something with protein in, eat something whole and real and deeply nourishing. And honestly, that's one of the best things that you can do to heal your body. If you're hungry, then eat. I feel like I want to get t-shirts made that just say this.
Yeah.
If hungry, we should eat. With maybe eat in fat. Brackets, like, ideally butter or ghee or like, you know, something along those lines. Because I think it's really, really huge. And it's still something I think we're coming up against as a culture, that, like, there's something that we have really twisted in our culture that, like, women, it's really lovely when women don't eat, you know, like it's this kind of twisted thing that it's very delicate to not eat, to be like, oh, I'm so full after a carrot, like,
yeah,
and which I just think, no.
No.
Healthy women eat, and we're strong, and we eat when we're hungry, and we listen to our bodies, and we're not trying to waste away and become less and smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people don't understand, you know, a lot of, you know, I've had quite a few clients that come to me, and, you know, they're really underweight. Their BMI is like, at, you know, between 15 and 18, which is so underweight. And it's like, you know, your hormone, you know, they've sort of got irregular periods. And it's like, well, you know, you don't understand how much, how important getting the right amount of calories per day and having a healthy body weight is. You know, your body starts shutting off once, you know, it's like a, you know, it's a something that's inbuilt into us from, like, you know, prehistoric times when, you know, if we were starving and struggling to get food, our bodies would shut down certain systems to help save us so that we could put the energy into other areas. And one of those first things that shuts down is fertility, which is hormones. And that's one of the big, you know, that's something that I'm always trying to preach, is that, you know, if you want, you have to be a healthy body weight to have healthy periods and have healthy skin, because it's, you know, and it's so easy, you know, and I've been there where you get obsessed over food and you cut out, you start cutting out everything until you end up just, you know, not being able to function properly. And, you know, and I now learned that, you know, my main flaw in my, you know, the way I thought I was eating healthily was that not enough fat and way too much sugar in the form of carbs, even from sweet potato. And things like that, you know, my body, I was so insulin resistant, you know, my blood sugar levels were so bad that they just couldn't even handle that. I had to really, you know, but then eating sort of like, you know, a lot of fat a day doesn't leave any enough room. So it's not like I'm not cutting out carbs and not replacing it with anything else. I'm just focusing on eating as much fat as possible. And then, you know, you find that you don't, you know, you can't actually physically fit in all the carbs. So you're like, well, actually, don't really need them. And you find yourself, you're not hungry. And you're like, but, you know, and I'm feeling so much better. And, you know, and introducing things, you know, I introduced like goat's cheese and goat's butter. And my skin from, you know, something that, you know, you ask many acne gurus online, and they'll be like, no, all dairy's the devil. You know, yeah, keep away from it. It's going to kill you. It's going to literally make you break out into like a million thousand spots.
Yeah, you'll turn into a cow.
I know. And I'm literally just like, I don't believe it. It's not that, you know, while some people may have, you know, intolerances to dairy, it's not for everyone. You know, you know, I personally have seen huge improvements in my skin since I introduced dairy and like goat's dairy back into my diet, because, and I'm sure it's because it's a good source of fat and also a really good source of nutrients as well.
Yeah, it is. It's a really good source of nutrients. I think there's lots of people that can't tolerate. I used to not be able to tolerate dairy really at all, but I had my genetics mapped out recently, and I do have a specific polymorphism that means I don't digest dairy very well. But because I focused a lot on healing my gut over the years,
digestion, yeah,
I can actually tolerate dairy fine. Like I'm never going to be able to drink lots of milk in a day or lots of cream. Those are things that I just, a lot of,
yeah,
but I can go out and have a flat white,
yeah,
and that's I can tolerate that. And but it's one of those things, even that, if you sort out your digestion, then you can often tolerate a lot more than what you have. And dairy is such a great source of your fat-soluble vitamins and your fats and your proteins. And especially if you can make sure it comes from a really happy source.
Good source, yeah.
It can be a really, healing part of a diet. So when it comes, if we had someone listening, Amy, who maybe they are still really struggling with their skin and they feel like they've tried a bazillion creams and pills, or maybe they're on the pill now because they know it just means that, you know, it's purely for their skin that they're on it. What would your kind of top tips be for where to begin with healing your skin from the inside out?
I think everyone needs, yeah, I think if you're currently on the pill, then I would actually say that the best thing to do would be have sort of, you know, work on an acne healing protocol 2 to 3 months before you actually come off it. I think staying on the pill for an extra 2 months or so will be better in the long run, so that, you know, if you give yourself 2 months to really prepare your body for the changes that could happen, you know, because the pill turns off your hormones. You know, the doctors have always said, oh, we'll put you on the pill to balance your hormones, we'll put you on the pill, you know, but what a lot of people often find is whatever their symptoms were, so if they had bad periods before they went on the pill, they're going to be a lot worse when they come off the pill, unless they start you know, including some kind of protocol to kind of improve their body before it gets to that stage. And same with acne, if your acne was kind of moderate before you went on the pill, it could get a lot worse once you come off it. Even if you didn't have any problems before you went on the pill, chances are you could suffer a little bit when coming off. So I think that, you know, again, like what we've said, we just said eat more fat, less sugar. You know, fat is not the enemy. It's sugar that's causing the problem. It's sugar that causes the, you know, it's just sugar that's causing all the disease and all the, you know, skin issues and, you know, fatigue and just general kind of lack of vitality, that, you know, many of us are suffering from or have suffered from, or, so it's, you know, it really is sugar. And I'm, you know, I hate to say it, but it, you know, I think everyone's got a carb tolerance. For some people, like particularly me, it's very, very low. Like I can't really tolerate much at all. Other people, you know, that's why even just going paleo wasn't enough, like even just cutting out, grains wasn't enough. You know, I had to take that extra step further to make sure that I was really kind of getting in control of my blood sugar levels. Some people just need to cut out refined sugar. Some people need to cut out all added sugar, including like honey and maple syrup. And, you know, then it, obviously you have to, other people need to be more and more strict. But the kind of one thing that everyone should do is increase their fat intake, because as soon as you start increasing your fat intake, there's no room for that. You stop craving, you know, once you start transitioning your body into like more of a fat burner rather than relying on sugar for fuel, you just, you know, there's a huge shift that happens in your body. Inflammation goes down and you just start feeling so much better. There are some people, it's very uncommon, but there are some people that suffer from like fat malabsorption, where they can't digest fats. This is, you know, you know if you've got this, if you've got like, you get stomach upsets if you increase your fat intake, and also you can sometimes get like clay, very pale clay-like stools, but that's not to say that fats aren't for you. It just means you have to improve your digestion, increase your fats really, really slowly. And also consider taking like an ox bile supplement, like a digestive enzyme to specifically help your fat absorption. But I think, you know, even if you have like a problem with absorbing fat, that doesn't mean you have to write it off and that's not for you. You just need to work a bit harder so that your body can start using fats better. So that's, I'd say that like eat more fat, less sugar is definitely my like number one tip. Because like we've said before in this conversation that, you know, a good diet, the right diet will override, any, you know, it's more effective than any supplement, there is. And then also, you know, we've spoke about it already. The digestion is just, you know, you can't not focus on digestion if you want to sort of help, you know, both coming off the pill and just general, if you're suffering with your skin. Your digestion is key to improving that, you know. And I personally like probiotic rich food, kimchi and sauerkraut and stuff like that. I usually aim for like a large tablespoon a day, usually with my lunch. I personally think that fermented foods are like, they're more hardy, So I think they can like survive through, they survive better through like the really harsh conditions in the body. But also I understand that that's not ideal for people. And some people just really don't like fermented.
Yeah, they cabbage. Don't like the taste or...
I used to not like the taste, but since I, you know, kind of got a grip on my, you know, blood sugar imbalances and stopped being so reliant on sugar, I actually have, you know, I quite enjoy it now. I really like the Biona one. It's really nice. It uses, it's sort of like fermented with juniper berries and it's really, it's so tasty. It's really nice.
I always say to clients, I'm like, I know you think I'm crazy for recommending sauerkraut, but it's honestly better than you think if you get the non-vinegary type. I think your fermented foods are something that in general for most people, unless there's histamine intolerance going on, like it's thebomb.com to add to your day.
Yeah. And for those with like, you know, histamine intolerances or just really can't stomach fermented foods, then, you know, probiotics, you know, you can get really good quality. I know both you and me really rate the Prescriptasys.
Yes. Yeah.
Probiotics. So I think, you know, there are, but again, you know, look, get recommendations for probiotics from someone that you trust, because, you
know, loads of rubbish ones.
It's no good just going to Holland & Barrett and picking up something there because it will be terrible and it won't do anything and it will just be a waste of money.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah. It is worth getting kind of a therapeutic based probiotic.
Yeah,
and getting definitely. Good, and there's loads out there, so you can really figure out, you know, which one is. It does mean you pay a little bit more, but it's often really, really worth it.
But 100%,
I love those tips; they're so good.
Yeah. No, thank you. I have one more.
Oh, go for it.
Which I think we were talking about before we started recording, which was I think a lot of people, if there's one supplement that kind of everyone. It skin related, it doesn't even have to be acne, psoriasis, eczema, if you're just feeling really run down, if you get ill a lot, then it's vitamin D. You know, we spend so much time working at desks indoors or just being indoors. The British weather is generally pretty rubbish. I mean, we're sort of June now, it should be summer, and it's been drizzly
with rain
and cloudy, and you know, it's just, even in the summer, we can't guarantee sunshine. That combined with increasing concerns of like skin damage and skin cancer and stuff, we're all applying more and more sun lotion on the really rare occasions that we do go out in the sun. And sun lotion actually blocks over 90% of vitamin D production. So it's kind of quite easy to see how we are a nation of vitamin D deficient people. You know, it's like I said earlier, it's not just acne, it's psoriasis and eczema. You know, it kind of, a lot of people don't really, they think like, oh, it's just something that we get and it stops us from getting, you know, like vitamin D deficiency. It's not really, doesn't have a huge impact on our general health, but it really does. Like, it reduces inflammation. So like you were talking about joint pain earlier and, you know, and even inflammation in the skin, whether it's psoriasis or cysts or acne, vitamin D like cools inflammation. It improves your immunity. So it stops you, you know, it stops you from getting colds and coughs and any kind of bugs. It also smooths out the skin and also controls your insulin response as well. So all of those things are going to have an impact on your skin, especially acne. I used to skip my vitamin D supplement in the summer because I kind of thought, oh, it's summer, you know, it's fine. But, you know, working in an office all day and then going out to the beach for like an hour in the evening isn't enough to get what you need for the benefits that you want. Now I'm more aware, I will take like 5,000 IU of oral vitamin D spray every single day. The only exception, like the only days that I wouldn't take it is if I was literally out on the beach all day, or outside all day in the summer. Any other day, I think that, you know, unless we're doing that, then we won't be getting enough. Like sitting out for a couple of hours here with sun lotion on doing this pretty much only between like June and August, 3 months of the year is that kind of option available anyway. So it's something that everyone really needs to start considering, supplementing with, because it's just, we just don't get enough of it at all.
No, we really don't. And it's something we've not really fully understood until more recently. But I do think the country that we live in, how far away we are from the sun during winter time, it just means we're not quite getting the right spectrum of light. We're not eating enough fat. So I think you're right. All the things you mentioned all kind of play together as well. Eating more fat helps you to generate, helps with the vitamin D synthesis, eating less sugar, less inflammation, sorting out your digestion. Honestly, guys, if you do even just one of those things, actually, that Amy shares, you will see it, like all of those things are quite huge. And I wouldn't recommend doing every single thing overnight because it can be a lot, but just pick one. Maybe start with like one of the things that feels most achievable of like, okay, yeah, I could do the vitamin D thing, or I could eat a bit more fat and I don't need to be fat phobic anymore, you know, whatever it is, and just starting to really nourish and heal your body. There's such amazing principles, whether you have acne or not. the great things just to do more of.
Yeah.
And incorporate in. Thank you so much, Amy. You're such a wealth of wisdom and insight and experience. You know, the journey that you've had from sorting out your skin and your digestion, and I think it's just amazing, and all the things that you've learned along the way. Where can people find more of you if they want to come and connect or follow you or say hello or read your blogs? Where will they find you?
So you can find all my blogs over at www.skintherapy.com. I'm also on Instagram. That's my most active social media profile, and that's @Amy_skintherapy, and that's skin with a Y, so SKYN therapy. Skin, it means knowledge and understanding in Old Norse, so that's where that comes from.
Definitely add Amy's website and blog onto your regular blogs readings. I do. I really enjoy them, and she is worth a follow on Instagram for shizzle. So thank you so much, Amy. It's been so fun.
Thank you so much.
We'll have to have you on again. I feel like we could just talk about, we could talk the houses down with our just talking about
fat. Definitely, I know.
Maybe we should have a whole episode
definitely,
on fat.
Definitely.
I think we should, and bust some myths so that we can become a fat loving nation instead of a
fat-phobic. Yeah, and we'll get those t-shirts made as well.
Yes, we should.
Yeah. I think that'll be
a good side business.
my friend's a copywriter. I'll get her to come up with some really awesome strap lines that we can make some really cool t-shirts.
Seriously, I would wear that.
I know, t-shirt. I'm being serious too. I'm being completely serious.
I would email you tomorrow and be like, so the plan, here's the domain name that I bought. Which is so funny. But thank you everyone for listening. If you have any questions, then feel free to head to either Amy's Instagram or at Whole Healthy Live with any questions you have. If you want show notes or links to anything that either Amy mentioned or I mentioned, then just head to wholehealthylive.com/podcasts and you'll find everything there. Otherwise, thank you for joining us, and we shall see you next week for another Whole and Healthy Life podcast. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.